Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching for regular Sunday morning services.
If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of Job, chapter 9. The book of Job, chapter 9. Job is right before the book of Psalms. Easy to find it back there. Just turn back into the Old Testament. And Psalms is the largest book in the Bible, and you can find the book of Job. Chapter 9. I want the first two verses of this chapter. Well, let me give you the first three. Job chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. This is the great question that has been asked for ages, and that I believe that the Lord's people continue to ask today, is how can man, or how should man, be just with God? The book of Job is one of, if not the oldest, books in the Bible. It's possibly one of the oldest pieces of literature known to humanity. It predates the law given by Moses. And if we understand some of the writings of Job, we understand that the book of Job was written during a time that dinosaurs still roamed the earth. And even then, that far back, man was asking the great question, how should man be just with God? Job, as we understand him, was a very wise man. Wise men ask wise questions. Wise men are honest men, and I believe that honest men know that they are sinners and that their sins cannot be hidden by a few fig leaves. And Job himself was a very wise man, and so he asked the wise question, how should man be just with God? I want you to notice that he didn't say, how could man be just with God? Because he was too wise to ask a question like that. Because Job knew that there was nothing that he could do personally to make himself just with God. There is a big difference between how should man be just with God and how could man be just with God. And if you know about Job, you also know that he was a very good man. The very first part of the book of Job tells him that he loved God, that he feared God, and he eschewed evil. And so being a very good man, if there was anybody that could hold his own works up before God and say that he himself could justify himself before God, I believe that Job would be the man that could do it. You remember in Ezekiel, when Ezekiel was writing and God was speaking to the prophet, I believe it was in the 14th chapter, that the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and said that he was going to bring a curse upon the Lord's people. He said, I'd stretch out my hand upon the land. And he said that he's going to cut off man and beast. In other words, he's going to destroy it. He said, but if these three men, Noah, Job, and Daniel, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness. According to the Word of God, the three most righteous men that have ever lived was Job, and Noah, and Daniel. Now, I thought about Enoch in that. I know Enoch was a great man because he walked with God and God took him, and he was not. But this tells us that Job was a very, very good man. And even by his own righteousness, he could have delivered himself from the famine and the pestilence that was coming into the land. But we know that Job, even as good a man as he was, he knew in his own heart that he could not make himself just with God. So Job was a wise man. Some of his wisdom is displayed later in the book when he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he will stand in the latter day upon the earth. Job was wise enough to know that the Redeemer lived and that one day he was going to stand. But even in that wisdom, Job asked the question, how should man be just with God? Now, in my introductory remarks this morning, I've already illustrated by common experience, and even by the factual truth of God's Word, that there are really three different phases of justification that are taught in the Scriptures. And that's my three points this morning. As I want to talk to you this morning about justification, how man shall be just with God, but to show you that there are three different phases of justification that are taught in the Scriptures, and if we're not careful, we can get those confused. One is the justification in the courtroom of God. That's the answer to Job's question, by the way. The second one is justification in the courtroom of our own conscience. That's what Job did not yet know, for Christ had not yet been revealed. And the third is justification in the courtroom of the world. That is the courtroom that we show our justification by works, that we have indeed been justified by God. So stay with me this morning, because this is a very broad subject, but yet it is a biblical subject and something that we need to understand. So number one, we're going to talk about justification in the courtroom of God, which is really the answer to Job's question, how should man be just with God? I take my text from Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9, where the Apostle Paul writes, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." According to this text, the elect were justified when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed. There's nothing else that we can believe about this text, that we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Justification is just like election. It was promised in the eternal decrees of the Godhead before the world ever began. The elect were verily elected to be justified. They were never in danger of hell. God intended to justify them from all eternity. And if God purposed to justify them, I can promise you they are as good as justified. This was the divine plan and decree of God. I was reading Gill this week about the subject of justification, and he said this. He said it was the will of God from everlasting to punish, not to punish the elect for their sins, but to punish Christ, their surety, for their sins. This he did on the cross. This was true for all of the elect who live in the Old Testament times, even though the atonement had not yet been made. So the justification that Job was asking about was something that was already in the mind, the heart, and the purpose of God, which would be carried out through Christ in the eternal covenant when Christ would die upon the cross and shed his blood for the sins of his people. In Ephesians 1 and 6, it tells us that he has made us accepted in the Beloved. And if you and I have been made accepted in the Beloved, then you and I must have been justified in the Beloved. That's exactly what it's talking about, that God intended to justify us through the person of Jesus Christ. There are some that say, well, there are different ways that people are justified. Some people are justified one way, some people are justified another. But we believe that the infant that dies in the womb, or even the mentally challenged person, is justified in just the same way that those who can understand and those who live long enough to hear the gospel and to hear about Jesus Christ. Some people like to claim their justification by faith. They will say that, well, we believe in justification and that it's done through the process of faith of the sinner. That when the gospel is preached, the sinner lays hold upon the person of Christ. They then at that time, when they begin to believe in Christ through their faith, that is at that moment that the blood is applied to them. They are admitted into the everlasting covenant and their sins are eternally put away by their faith. But my friends, it doesn't say that in the Scriptures. Faith is not the cause of our justification, but faith is the result of our justification. You and I have faith because we have been justified. We have faith because the Lord has placed His Spirit within us. Our faith cannot justify us. Our faith cannot pay for a sin. Our faith cannot repent or anything else for us. Our faith is the result of the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. And Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, the Apostle Paul says that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So if Paul is telling us that all men have not faith, then we would believe that if it is by faith that we are justified, then we would have to say that it's not fair for everybody because everybody doesn't have faith. And if we want to be fair, some men want to say, we could never base our justification upon faith, for all men do not have it. In Romans 1 and 17, when the apostle is talking about the preaching of the gospel, he said it is revealed from faith to faith. So a person must have faith before they can understand the preaching of the gospel in the first place, before they can actually put their faith into practice, or you might say into action, to lay hold upon the person or understand the person of Jesus Christ. So faith is a result of our justification. As the old preachers used to say, it's antecedent to it, or antecedent to it, as an act of our faith. In Romans 3, verse 23, Paul writes this again about the subject of our justification. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the right remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's a long sentence, isn't it? I mean, when you read something like that, you want to say, well, how am I going to unravel this anyway? But you see, you know, when we go to church, that's the kind of things we want to hear about, isn't it? We want to hear something that's doctrinal. We want to hear something that explains to us the great question that Job was asking: how should man be just with God? And so Paul tells us, Romans 3 and 23, as well as in the other place I've read, that we're justified through the blood of Christ. And here he says that through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. That's the same answer to the question, by His grace. And we understand if it's by God's grace that the sinner is justified, then it has nothing to do with our own works. And any time we use our faith, and we apply our faith, and we do something by faith, that is a work. In Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the substance of things not seen, the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he begins to tell us of all the great things that the patriarchs did through faith. Those were great works that they did. But I want to tell you that nothing that anybody did in Hebrews chapter 11 through faith or by faith ever paid for one single sin, nor will it ever admit them into the presence of God. Only the atoning work of Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 3, we read again about it. Titus writes the same thing. You find all the authors agree concerning how we are eternally justified before God in the courtroom of God. He says, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. All of the authors of the Scriptures agree that it has nothing to do with you or me or our works or our faith, that we can be justified in the courtroom of God, that we can stand before God as holy and as innocent, except through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now we come to the second part of our justification. And that has to do with the justification in the courtroom of our own conscience. Now, Job asked the question, how should man be just with God? And he's wondering, how is this going to happen? How in my own conscience can I, in a feeling sense, understand and know that I have been justified, that I will one day be able to stand in the presence of God and be accepted with God and live with God in glory. Because that's what justification means. You know, how can man be just with God? To be just means that you are holy and you are righteous and you can stand before God's presence in that way. And so we must understand this if we're going to find in our own conscience that we're going to be able to be with God in glory one day. And may I say, in the New Testament, this is the blessings of the revealed Christ, that you and I have the understanding of this. But in the Old Testament, they did not know how this was going to come to pass. They were doing the works that were given to them under the law. And that's why so many of them, when Christ came, were so caught up in keeping the law and keeping the circumcision, because they thought that through all of that, they were going to make themselves just with God. And Jesus said, it's not by your works. And that's why it was so difficult for them to let go of that. But my friends, now Christ has been revealed to us, and we understand through faith how we are going to be just with God. Now, when you're talking about justification by faith, you can place that in this category, that you and I have the opportunity and the ability to understand by faith in the courtroom of our own conscience how that we are going to live with God in glory. And may I say that that produces such a peace in our own hearts. When God convicts the sinner of his sin, when through the Holy Ghost you and I are shown that we do not deserve to live with God in glory, when we are shown our sins, when our conscience convicts us, then Christ is preached. And we understand what Christ has done for us, that we ourselves have nothing to pay, and that Christ has paid it all for us, and that His righteousness must be imputed to us if we ever live with God in glory one day. I want to say there is a freedom there and a peace in the heart and soul that passeth understanding. Now I have nothing in my hand. I'm looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the justification that you and I receive in the courtroom of our own conscience. And what is that worth to you today? I say in my own personal experience that it was a great blessing when I came to understand that my justification was not by my own works. You know, I think that some Christians actually give up on Christianity because they've heard it said that they must do these things and live up to a certain standard, and that by their own faith that they're going to do these things. And they see themselves falling. No person ever lives up to their full faith. No person ever lives up to the full potential of what God has given them. None of us do. And sometimes we see ourselves as miserable failures before God because we cannot live up to what we would like to be. I think that was Paul's statement in Romans chapter 7. He said, the things that I would not, those things I do. And those things I allow. He found himself never able to measure up to the mark that he would like to be, to ever see himself in a place that he could present himself before God as he would like. That's why he ends that chapter, by the way, wasn't a chapter then, but he ends that statement with, I thank God through my Lord Jesus Christ. He looks to the person of Jesus Christ. You notice when I read that long verse of Scripture in Romans chapter 3, Paul ends it to say, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ. You see, your faith is a result of your justification. As always, your belief. And it is through your faith and your belief that you're able to hang your hat upon the person of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. John Gill said this again. He said, what the eye is to the body, that faith is to the soul. The eye does not produce the things that it sees, but it does project its image on the brain. And so faith doesn't make us just, but it does allow us to see our justification in the person of Jesus Christ, to rely upon it, and to find peace from it. And so I believe in the courtroom of our own conscience, when we can understand Christ, when Christ is preached, that's the power of the gospel. For us to hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified and how it convicts our hearts and draws us to the person of Jesus Christ. Remember, that's what Jesus preached Himself. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. He came to preach peace to His people. He didn't preach condemnation to them. He preached peace. You have been justified. I will justify you. This is peace to the heart of a person who knows that they are indeed a sinner. I know in my own experience, I've already mentioned this, and I've talked about this more than once, but I was not always a member of the Primitive Baptist Church. And in my own experience in growing up and going to other churches, I was told what I should do to live with God in glory. I was told what I needed to do to go to heaven. And you know, a person whose heart is convicted of sin, who's really been convicted, when people tell you something that you must do to go to heaven, you're willing to do it. I mean, if they tell you you're supposed to recite something, to do something, if they tell you to swim the ocean, no matter what they tell you, if you know you're a sinner and you want to find some kind of peace in your own heart and soul, and they're prescribing all these things you're supposed to do, I can tell you from experience, you're willing to do that thing, whatever it is. And I did some of those things. But there was always something in the back of my conscience. I felt like I was cheating God. I felt like that even though I had done those things, that there was something I just didn't quite, there was just something about it that just didn't make sense. I just felt like that there surely must be more that must be done for a sinner to be just with God. But when I understood God's grace, when I heard grace preached, everything was in Him. That it was nothing that I could do. That He had fulfilled everything that was required of the law in me to a jot and to a tittle. And that I could believe that He had done everything. And there is a peace there when you can find that pardon and that justification in your own soul and your own conscience. You can let go of some things. Some people say, well, you know what? If I believed all that, I would just go out and live any way I wanted to. That is always the argument. That is the historical argument of those that want to oppose justification by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, we don't believe in justification by faith. We believe in justification by blood. Our justification is through the blood of Jesus Christ. But there are always those that want to argue the point and say, well, you know, people, you know, will just live any way they wanted to. I was reading a book a few weeks ago by Richard Warburton, a wonderful book called Mercies of a Covenant God. And he preached the gospel like we preach it. He preached free and sovereign, the sovereignty of God and free grace. And there were those that accused him. And they said, you know, the things you preach actually lead people into sin. And he was like a lot of us. I mean, he was despised by many of the religious people of his day. They basically hated him for preaching grace. But one thing they did notice about him and the other professors that preached grace, that he lived a very holy life. They could not accuse him by the way that he lived his personal life or by any, now he wasn't perfect, but by any sins in his life. And that was one argument that he had against them, that he could preach grace, and he could teach grace to his people. But they lived as good as anybody else. And my friends, I believe if grace was going to lead you into a place of sin, this whole church would be involved in a bunch of sins, don't you? I believe everybody in this whole church, as much as you've heard grace, you'd be the biggest sinners in Donaldson or wherever you're from. But the fact is, those that see their sinners and hear about grace, if you really understand what grace is, it's going to move your conscience more than legalism. It'll cause us to love Jesus Christ even more. Some of them are called libertines and other words that they use concerning men who, and there are those that preach grace and live very ungodly lives because they say, well, you know, we're saved by grace. We can do anything we want to do, and they preach it and they live ungodly lives. But I'll remind you what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans. He said, let us do evil that God's good will come. He said, whose damnation is just. A person that can say that salvation is by grace and live an ungodly life because they assume grace, their damnation is justified by God Himself. A person that really understands Christ and His grace will not go out and sin all they can just because salvation is by grace. Well, the third area of justification is in the courtroom of the world. This is the courtroom in which we show our justification, or that we reveal our justification. Let me just look to the book of James, because this is where we get our text from that. In James chapter 2, verse 20, James writes, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, he didn't say you didn't have it. He just said that it's dead. It's ineffective. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now somebody might be saying, wait a minute, there's a great contradiction here. Because James just said that, that faith is by works, or that justification is by our works. But we read in Romans chapter 4 that, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I mean, it seems like a contradiction that in one place it says that our justification is by faith or by works. In another place it says that if we believe God, then we're justified. So how do we explain that? Well, we explain it like I've already said, in the three different courtrooms. One is that God justifies us upon the cross eternally in the courtroom of God. And you may never know about it, but you're still justified. If you never find out about it, you're still justified. The blood of Christ was shed for you, you're still justified. So even if your own conscience has not learned it, you're still justified. But you come to the third courtroom, which is the courtroom of the world. And you and I are able to show our justification or prove our justification by our works. Because you can't pay for any sin by your works. And so if we're going to show that we're just people, we must do so and only can do so by our works and by the fruits that we have as a result of God's Spirit. So what James is saying is, if you do have some faith, but you don't have any works to go with it, your faith is worthless. God's given you something gratis that you are not using. You're taking your talents and you're burying them in the sand. And I believe that there are these lazy Christians, if you want to call it that, slothful servants, the Laodicean church. That is a truth. But that doesn't mean they don't have any faith. It just means that they're not putting their faith into practice. And as I've already said, How many of us are really using all the faith that we have? You know, the Lord said if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, then we could remove a mountain. It doesn't take a lot of faith to do great things. So if some of us may think, well, you know, I don't really have a whole lot of faith. But I'll tell you what, if you've got any faith at all, you can do great things. You can certainly serve the Lord and serve His people. So, we find, I believe, in reality, if we're going to look at the word justification, that we've got to understand it according to the way the Bible divides justification. That there is no way that you and I can justify ourselves before in the courtroom of God, but Christ, by His blood, has justified us. And it is in our own conscience that we're justified when we come to understand by faith what Christ has done for us. And it is in the courtroom of the world that you and I can prove and show that we are justified people by our walk and by our actions and that the things that we do, which I believe honor the person of Jesus Christ. So that's it in a nutshell this morning concerning justification. And I will conclude by saying what Job said in the end of that verse of scripture that I read, that if God asked us 1,000 questions, we could not answer Him one. Because the only thing that you and I could answer are the things that He has revealed to us. Because if it were not for Genesis 1 and 1, that God created the heavens and the earth, if God even asked the question where we came from, we couldn't even answer that. But I thank God through His Word that He gives us the comfort and hope that we have been justified by the finished works of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you haven't made a public confession of Christ, you'd like to do so, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching for regular Sunday morning services.